जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Nittai Gaur Hari Bol Hari Bol Hari Bol Hari Bol Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol नमों विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी निति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे शील प्रभुपाद की जय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद्भागवतम् फोर्थ कैंटो चैप्टर 13 टेक्स्ट 2 विदुर उवाच के ते प्रचेतसो नामो कश्यापत्यानि कश्यापत्यानि सुब्रत कशन्यवाये प्रख्याता पुत्र बा सत्रमासत विदुर उवाच के ते प्रचेतसो नाम कश्यापत्यानि सुब्रत कश्यान्यवाये प्रख्याताः कुत्र वा सत्रमासत केते प्रचेतसो नाम कस्यापत्यानि सुब्रत कस्यान्यवाये प्रख्याता कुत्र वा सत्रमासत केते प्रचेतसो नाम
केते प्रचेतसो नाम
कस्यापत्यानि सुब्रत
कस्यापत्यानि सुब्रत
कस्यान्यवाये प्रख्याता
कस्यान्यवाये प्रख्याता
कुत्र वा सत्रमासत
कुत्र वा सत्रमासत Krishna. So is everyone properly situated? Comfortable? Not too much of a squeeze? Ishan? Comfortable? Sitting on the floor? Okay. Okay. So
Vidura Ubacha.
Vidura inquired,
who were they, prachetasaha,
the prachetas,
nama,
of the name,
kasya,
whose,
apatyani,
sons,
subrata,
O Maitreya,
who have taken an auspicious vow,
kasya,
whose,
annavaye,
in the family,
prakhyataha,
famous,
putra,
where,
va,
also,
satram,
the sacrifice,
asata,
was performed.
Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada.
Vidura inquired from Maitreya, O greatly advanced devotee, who were the prachetas? To which family did they belong? Whose sons were they? And where did they perform the great sacrifice? The great sacrifices.
Please repeat after me.
Vidura inquired from Maitreya.
Vidura inquired from
O greatly advanced devotee,
who were the
prachetas?
To which family did they belong?
Whose sons were they?
And where did they perform
the great sacrifices?
Purport by Srila Prabhupada.
The great Narada's singing in the previous chapter of three verses in the sacrificial arena of the prachetas gave another impetus to Vidura to ask further inquiries, to ask further questions. So, short purport. So, but it actually leads to one, the whole thing leads to another chapter. That chapter is about the prachetas and Dhruva Maharaj's family, Dhruva Maharaj's descendants. Many people are sitting outside. How many of you are sitting outside? Bahar kitne bhakti baithe ho? Kitne bhakti baithe ho? Huh? 10 to 12. Make some room and let them come in, because outside they won't be able to hear. Just come a little forward. Yeah. See, they made room, so you occupy that room. Yeah, it was a mistake actually to have the class here today. Odike chole ja. There is plenty of space on that side. So the question here is, who are the prachetas? Narad Muni mentioned about the prachetas. And so Vidura is asking Maitreya Rishi. This section of Bhagavatam is a conversation between Vidura and Maitreya Rishi. When Krishna, just before leaving the planet, he met with Maitreya Rishi. And he instructed Maitreya Rishi to enlighten Vidura. Told him that in due course of time, Vidura will come and you enlighten him. So, a good part of Srimad Bhagavatam actually deals with conversation between Maitreya Rishi and Vidura. This part is known as Vidura Maitreya Sambad. the conversation between Vidura and Maitreya. And Bhagavatam, through these conversations and questions and answers, are revealing different aspects. The Vedas deal mainly with spiritual topic or lead to spiritual topic. The Puranas have symptoms. Perfect Puran is Srimad Bhagavatam. Because in Bhagavatam, there are 10 symptoms. Bhagavatam has 10 symptoms. Other Puranas, some Puranas have 5 symptoms, 6 symptoms, 7 symptoms. But only Bhagavatam deals with 10 symptoms. Lakshanam, Dasha Lakshanam. So those 10 symptoms are Atra Sarga Visargascha, Sthana Poshanam Utaya, Munnantara Ishanukatha, Mukti Nirodha Ashraya. That is, Sarga means creation. Puranas must deal with these things. All Puranas are dealing with creation, Sarga. Then Visarga, sub-creation. Sthanam, planetary systems. The informations are given about different planets. And they have been, all these planetary systems have been classified in 14 sections. We are on the 7th from top. Every planet has 14 planetary systems. And we are in the Bhurloka, 7th from the top. Then Bhubarloka, then Swarloka, Sargaloka, Maharloka. People think that heaven or Swarga is the ultimate. No. Beyond, even in this, in Swarga planet, Swargaloka, heavenly planet, is in this universe. And beyond Swargaloka is Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, Sattaloka. And there are lower planetary systems. Atal, Bital, Sutal, Mahatal, Rasatal, Patal. These are the 7 lower planetary systems. We see the upper planetary systems in the form of the stars, the luminaries. But they are actually 6 upper planetary systems. Maharloka, beyond Earth planet is Bhubarloka. Then beyond Bhubarloka is Swarloka, Sargaloka. Then beyond that is Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka and Sattaloka. Sattaloka is the place, planet where Lord Brahma is situated. So, Lord Brahma is situated that in the highest planet of the universe. Brahma is a supreme personality in the planetary system, in the universe. He is the first created being and the universe is created by the Lord. The universe is created by all the universes. Is there only one universe or there are many universes? There are innumerable universes. And all these universes are actually created by Mahavishnu. Now does he create by directly getting involved? No. The creations are actually his indirect creations are caused indirectly by him. So creation is caused indirectly by him. How? Mahavishnu is lying in the causal ocean. So there is another factor coming in. Causal ocean. You know the ocean of water, and there may be an ocean of salt water. There may be an ocean of milk. There are different types of oceans. Oceans means vast reservoir of liquid. And there are various types of oceans. Actually, in this Bhurloka, there are seven oceans. The ocean that we know is saltwater ocean. Beyond saltwater ocean, like there is the Bhumandal, this is actually Jambudvip, the land where we are in. What we consider is the earth planet is actually one island. And beyond that island is an ocean. What surrounds this island is the saltwater ocean. And beyond that there is another island, Jambudvip. Beyond that is Plakshadvip. And in this way there are seven islands. Praksha, Shaka, Shalmali, Pushkar. And surrounding each island there is an ocean. Like, as I said, like we are surrounded by saltwater ocean. But beyond the saltwater ocean is sugar water ocean. This ocean is salt, and there is another ocean of sugar. Now beyond that is an ocean of wine, ocean of liquor, Sura. Then beyond that, there is an island, and beyond that, there is another ocean. That is called Sarpi. Sarpi means ghee, an ocean of ghee. And beyond that ocean of ghee is an ocean of dahi, yogurt. And beyond that, there is an ocean of milk. And beyond that, there is an ocean of pure water. So these are the seven oceans. Just on this plane, Bhurloka, Bhumandal. And beyond that, above Bhumandal is Bhubarloka, then Swarloka. Swarloka is Swargaloka. And beyond Swargaloka is Maharloka. Swargaloka is the place where different demigods who are controllers of different affairs of this universe, they reside. There are different departments. There are different departments like in a government, in a state we find that there are different departments. There is, in a city we find there are different departments. There is electric supply department. Even in a small place like Ujjain, we have so many departments we can see. The electric supply department. Then there is water supply department. Then there is finance department, education department. So those departments are headed by somebody. So in the universal affair, there are different departments. There is water department, wind department, fire department, education department. And there are different heads of departments. So they are known as devas or demigods. Like the wind department, who is the controller of the wind department? Pavandev. Who is the controller, who is the head of water department? Varundev. So all the universal water supply is controlled by him, Varundev. Then there is fire department. Who is the in charge of fire department? Agnidev. There is education department. Who is the in charge of education department? Saraswati. Who is in charge of finance department? Lakshmi. So Kuber is not the finance head of finance department. Kuber is the treasurer. He is the treasurer. But Lakshmi Devi is the head of finance department. So this is how this universal affairs are being controlled by different heads. And those heads reside in the heavenly planet. Swargaloka. But beyond Swargaloka is Maharloka. There are great sages. They are very exalted sages like Bhrigu and Pulastha, Pulaha. So they are, they reside in the upper planet, the planets that are beyond heavenly planets. And there also there is a Maharloka, then beyond Maharloka there is Janaloka, then there is Tapaloka, and finally there is Sattaloka. And then beyond that, there are the seven layers, the causal layers of earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, and false ego. So this is how the Puranas are giving informations. Some Puranas are giving in. So this is Swarga. Then Visarga. Brahma, the sub-creation. The universe is created and then Brahma actually does the secondary creation. Just like the house is built and then the interior decorator comes and fills up the house, decorates the house. So Brahma's role is something like the interior decorator. The builder of the house is Vishnu. And interior decorator is Brahma. And then the sthanam, the different planetary systems have been very extensively described. Very scientific informations are available in our scriptures in this way. Poshanam, how is everything being maintained? That's also a part of Puran. Who is maintaining everything? Krishna is maintaining everything. How Krishna is maintaining everything, that has been described. How Krishna is maintaining everything? He made this arrangement. And then he is controlling everything through his agents, his appointed employees. Who are those employees? The demigods. Demigods are his, devas are his employees. Indra, Chandra, Varun, etc. So they are actually taking care of the affairs of the poshanam, maintenance of the universe. But ultimately, who is the boss? Krishna is the boss. Akale Ishwar Krishna Arshab Bhritto. Only Krishna is the master. And everyone else is his servant. Arshab Bhritto. So Poshanam. Then Utaya, the creative propensity. Everyone has that creative propensity. Somebody has a greater creative propensity, someone has a lesser creative propensity. But everybody, this is manifest in the couple get together and reproduce children. That is a tendency in the living entity, Utaya. Then Manvantar, there are 14 Manus in a day of Brahma. And those 14 Manus, Sunday feast.
Mirabai waits for that opportunity. So there are 14 Manus in a day of Brahma, and the Manus are something like the shift in charge. Like in a factory, you get shifts. The shifts change. Morning shift, afternoon shift, night shift, isn't it? So, and the head of the shift is the foreman. And he has a set of workers. So similarly, different Manus have the shift change. When the Manu changes, different demigods changes. Devas change. Like in this Manvantar, Purandar is Indra. And this is Vaivashyata Manu, Manvantar. In the next Manvantar, this is the seventh Manvantar. In the eighth Manvantar, you know who will become Indra? Very good. Bali Maharaj will become Indra. So all these descriptions are recorded in the scriptures or even forecasted in the scriptures. Just like we know that Kalki Avatar will come. Right? Yesterday, Sanjeev displayed the Dasavatar so nicely. And one of the incarnations is Kalki. When will come? At the end of Kali Yuga. End of Kali Yuga means how many years from now? About 427,000 years. 427,000 years. But it has been recorded in the scriptures. Vedas are giving. Not only that Kalki will come, but there is a description, clear description, in which village he'll appear. In a place called Sambhal Gram. As whose son? Vishnu Jasha's son. In a Brahmin family he'll appear. So, see, this is how the Vedas are not only giving a recorded history of the events, but even forecasting what is going to happen in the future. So this is how the Vedas are giving the detailed information. Now, the question is, are these fairy tales? Are these fairy tales? No. These are factual informations. Now you can see like how their one thread is leading to another. One incident is leading to another. There's a description of Dhruva Maharaj, and in there was a mention of the Prachetas performing a sacrifice. So then, Vidura is asking, Maitreya Rishi mentioned. Now, Vidura is mentioning, actually it is dealing with Dhruva Maharaj, but he is asking, who are these Prachetas? In which family they are born? Right? In which family they were born? And where did they perform the sacrifice that you mentioned? So who are, and this is how it's leading to another line. And see, not asking who is his father? Who is the, which family? Like in fairy tales, like for example, Cinderella, right? Is there any mention of Cinderella's father? Even if Cinderella's father's name is mentioned, but what about her grandfather? What about her great-grandfather? Do you find any such detailed information? But in the information that you are getting in the Vedas, there are typical family, you know, in-depth understanding of the family line. Like for example, Ramchandra. In which family did he appear? He appeared in the Ikshaku dynasty. Ikshaku family. Now, in Ramayana,
the family line has been described. But is it only in Ramayana that Ikshvaku family has been mentioned? Do you find it? We find that in Bhagavad Gita as well. What Krishna is saying, that imam vivashyate yogam praktavan aham abhayam. This knowledge that I am giving you, Arjun, I spoke this knowledge first to Vivashyan, sun god. Then sun god gave it to his son, Manu. Manu gave it to his son, Ikshaku. Now in Mahabharata also we are getting the same information as we are given in Ramayana. Lord Ramchandra appeared in which dynasty? Who remembers? Suryavamsa. Suryavamsa. Now does it make some sense? Sun god, sun. Surya, Vivashyan, is the sun god. His son is Manu, Vaivashyata Manu, who is actually ruling over this Manvantar. This is the time of Vaivashyata Manu. And Manu's son is Ikshaku. And in this way, the whole family thread, family line is given. And then we are finding Aja, Raghu, Dasarath, and Ram. Not just Ram and his father is Dasarath, and his grandfather is Raghu. And don't ask any more questions. We have given you enough information. We went all the way up to his grandfather. No, the family line goes all the way from sun god to his son, to his son, to his son, and the entire line is given. Now those who think that these are fairy tales, they're in total ignorance. They're very, very unfortunate. They're missing out. Such a wealth of information, such a wealth of knowledge. So this is how the Vedas make sense. So here again we are coming into Prachetas. What did they do? Which family did he appear? Whose son was he? Yeah, there was a king called Prachinabarhi. So this king had 10 sons. They are the Prachetas. And what did they do? The father asked them to get married. But they thought that before getting married, they have to become qualified. They have to prepare themselves. Because household life is very entangling. Those who are interested for the spiritual advancement, they're afraid of this entanglement. First get entangled with the wife for a man. Then children. Then grandchildren. It becomes very difficult. When the time comes to leave, it becomes a difficult job. Because there are so many attachments. How can I leave all these? Therefore, they thought that they have to prepare themselves. That's why the Vedic culture actually prepares one before one enters into household life. And what is that preparation? That preparation is brahmachari life. The life begins with a training of detachment. Because without proper training, if one enters, then he may get entangled, which will be very difficult to disentangle. So Vedic culture teaches one another Sunday feast. So, that's you, Archana? Okay. So the Prachetas, they're princes, the sons of king, and not an ordinary king. Prachinabarhi was ruling over the entire earth planet. Very, very powerful king. But their sons, his sons, decided, okay, let us prepare ourselves. Father said, get married. They said, well, wait a minute. Let's be prepared. And then they left home and started to move towards west. And there they came across Lord Shiva due to their good fortune. And Lord Shiva gave them the mantra, Rudra Gita. And through that, he instructed how to meditate upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And then they performed severe austerities, just meditating on Krishna. So this is the Vedic culture. The Vedic culture prepares us to become free from material bondage. We may say that, well, material, this world is so nice, I'm enjoying so much. I have such a nice family, I have so much money, I have built such a beautiful house, I established such a big business. Fine, it's all very good. But how will you feel when the time will come when you have to leave everything? Therefore, the problem is that the more attachment is there, more difficult it will be for us at the time of death. Now, I don't know, maybe some of you are going to be immortal, but most of us are going to die. Actually, jatasahi dhruvo mrittur. Whether we want to accept it or not, whoever is born, jatasya, whoever is born, dhruva, absolute truth, mrittur. He is bound to die. Everybody who is born will die. Dhruvo mrittur. Therefore, the Vedic culture is actually teaching us, okay, go through your life, but with a mood of detachment. Begin your life, brahmachari life. Learn how to become detached. Then householder life, grihastha life. Yes, when they're prepared, when they're properly prepared through brahmachari training, then they become ideal householders, grihasthas. But then, the children are grown up. Okay, now again, time to retire. Body is getting old. Don't have so much strength, so much vitality. So now, retire. Now, does retirement mean just sit on a chair on the balcony and watch TV? Is that retired life? No. Retired life also is designed to disentangle ourselves. So those days what they used to do, even the kings used to leave their kingdom and go to the forest. Bharat Maharaj, he was the ruler of the entire earth planet, including the oceans. But he left home, went to the forest. Yudhishthir Maharaj, another personality who became the ruler of the entire earth planet at that time. But the moment he got the news, Krishna left the planet, he said, fine, now it's time to retire. Krishna has left, so what's the point in staying here? So he decided to leave. And his brothers also said, we'll also retire. And Draupadi, along with Draupadi, all five brothers left. So they could behave like that because they had the higher understanding. And what is the higher understanding? The higher understanding is the spiritual, knowledge about spiritual reality. Is there something called a spirit soul? Right? Like, what is the difference between a living entity and an inert matter. Like we just see, just a plant growing. Isn't it something wonderful, something amazing? Like if I plant this under the ground, in a bed of soil, will there be another tree coming out producing mobile phones? Does inert matter display such signs? A small little seed falls on the ground and it sprouts into a seedling. Then it grows. And then a tiny little bud comes. When you watch the flowers in the garden, this also is so amazing. A tiny little bud just showing between the twigs. And then it starts to grow and it becomes a big flower. We have the prize-winning dahlias here, which actually grew from a tiny little bud. A tiny little bud. The bud eventually gave the shape of the flower. Isn't it amazing? How could such a thing happen? Then we see, sometimes I stand by the window and I see some pigeons. And it's so nice to watch them. That they're moving around. They're conversing with each other. Now, how could they do that? Because they're alive. Because they are spiritual beings. Not just the body of a pigeon. Inside the body there's a spirit soul. The spirit soul is generating consciousness. Spirit soul is functioning the body in an amazing way, which is giving rise to life. So now the question is, where does the spirit soul come from? Where does the spirit soul come from? The spirit soul comes from the spiritual sky. Spirit soul is not a matter of, is not a product of this material world. Spirit soul is material. Spirit soul is not matter. It's diametrically opposed to the characteristics of matter. So it's coming from another world, the spiritual world. We all are spirit souls. We came from there. So where is our home? Where is our home? Our home is there. That's why we have to go back. Until and unless we go back to our home, we are not going to be satisfied. So that is what the purpose of life is, to go back. And the Vedic culture is teaching us to prepare ourselves how to go back. Now that you got the human form of life, take proper advantage. Begin, the parents are guiding the children, sending them to boarding schools. The boarding school, the residential school of the guru. And there they are learning how to become a brahmachari. Even a king's son goes to a guru's ashram. Very simple life. Very simple life, but simple living and high thinking. As a child, they are being taught what is the goal of life. And then when they enter into the household life, they become the perfect householders, ideal householders. And then when they retire, Vanaprastha. Okay, wash your hands off the attachments that you have developed. Now is the time to disentangle ourselves from those attachments. It takes time. The attachments that you have developed over 30 years is not going to go away just by one or two days. The heart, these are hard knots in the heart. Hridaya granthi, Granthi means knot, Hridaya means heart. The knot's in the heart. Attachment to the child, to the son. Attachment to the daughter. Attachment to the grandson. So these are hard knots. So we have to disentangle those knots, open those knots with knowledge. Katava kanta kaste putra. Who is your wife? Who is your son? In your previous life, you had your wife, you had your children, you had your family members. Do you remember any one of them? No. The same thing will happen when you go to your next body. You won't remember anybody from this life. Although you are thinking, these relationships are so wonderful. So this is the knowledge, real knowledge. The Vedas are giving us that information. Therefore, it's very important that we make a proper approach to the Vedas. Get the informations from there. So many wonderful informations are there. Which even, I mean, today, of course, modern science has made a lot of advancement, no doubt about that. But you can see, compared to the Vedas, those advancements are very, very insignificant. Like, I'll just give you a simple consideration. How many types of procreations are there? Or how many types of birth are there? No, these are species. How many types?
Four types.
Four types. Did anybody study biology here? In the biology, is there any information like this? Four types? Now let's go into these four types. Right? You know what's the first type? First type is Svedaja. Sveda means sweat. That comes from body. Svedaja, birth from sweat. Now, what kind of birth is that? Now consider, how many of you studied basic biology? Okay. Do you know the amoebas and protozoas? How do they grow? Right. One from one body, another development takes place, another life comes in. Svedajas. Then next is udbijas, from seeds. The trees and plants are udbijas, from seeds. Then andajas, from eggs. Insects, from insects and worms to the birds and reptiles. They fall in that category. Andajas, born from eggs. And then jarayujas, birth from embryo. The animals and human beings fall in that category. They deal only with that section, modern science. They call it mammals. Right? Okay. Now the next consideration, see, these are the simple informations from the Vedas, but see how scientific it is. Can anybody dispute that? No. There are six symptoms of life. Once again, Radharani, you studied biology. Was there any information about how many symptoms of life are there? Not at all. Now what are those six symptoms? Let's see. Wherever there is life, the six symptoms must be there. What are those six symptoms? Birth. Then? Growth. then changes. Then fourth symptom is reproduction. Then the fifth symptom is dwindle. Decay. Fifth symptom is decay, and the sixth symptom is dwindle or death. Now see, wherever there is life, just take any consideration. A small little plant, right? Let us watch the plant. Was the plant born? It was born as a small little seedling, and then it started to grow, and eventually it becomes a huge tree. Then this tree changes, right? In autumn, the leaves fall. In spring, winter, the tree is completely bare, just standing there covered with snow, not here. In Europe and America, you find all white, and just that trees are standing there with just bare branches. Right. Then the spring comes. What happens? The new leaves start to come. Then in summer, the tree now is full of flowers. Autumn, the tree is full of fruits. Now, will you find this in this table? This table is also wood. The tree is also wood. Now, what's the difference? The table is without life. The tree is alive. And therefore, there are the six symptoms. Now you consider, do we go through these six symptoms ourselves? So these six symptoms, such a scientific observation. Not only observation, such scientific information. So this is how wonderful the Vedic culture is. And it is giving us such scientific information about how to perfect our existence. How to perfect our existence. And the perfection, the real perfection of our existence is to become situated in our spiritual identity. Our problem is, we are identifying ourselves with this body, although we are not this body. I'm not this body. The body that is here today, after few years, this body will not be there. Just as there was a child's body. Did you all have a child's body at one time? Where is that body? That body is completely gone. Not a single cell from the body is existing in today's body. Therefore, isn't it a natural conclusion? We are not this body. Then who are we? We are the spirit souls. So now just consider, we are spirit souls. But we don't have any information about our identity. We don't know ourselves. Because we are thinking that this body is me. And I don't have any information about me as such. Therefore, it's important that we try to understand who we actually are. And the process is there. We simply have to follow the process. And ultimately, we will achieve the result. So we have to have faith in the process and practice the process with faith. And when you practice, then we get the result. How many of you are practicing? Raise your hands, please. And how many of you got some result? Those who got the result, raise your hands. So, it works. At least our quality of our life improved. So this is how genuine this process is. Now it's up to us to take this process seriously and practice it. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any question? The question is, you spoke about 14 Manus. For how long do they live and what happens to them after that? Or after they leave, what happens? Yeah, in a day... When is your flight? Yeah, sure. Hare Krishna. Thank you all very much. How was the flower dress yesterday? Everybody? Wasn't it amazing? And Babai orchestrated this dress. And her team did all the work. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Okay, so again, are you all ready for another scientific information? The duration of Brahma's day is 1,000 Chaturjugas. 1,000 Chaturjugas. Aap log kahan se aa rahe hain? No, matlab kahan se? Ujjain ke rehne wale? Oh, Gurgaon. Achha, okay. They all came with you, huh? I'm sorry, I saw you all standing there. I'm sorry that we couldn't. We should have had the class in the temple room. Could you hear? Outside? You could have. Thank you for coming. Aiye, andar aiye. Just make some room for them. So, Brahma's day is 1,000 Chaturjugas. So what is the meaning of Chaturjuga? One Chaturjuga is a combination of four Jugas. Satyajug, Tretajug, Dwaparjug and Kalijug. Now, the four Jugas combined together is how many years? 4.32 million years. Now, multiplied by 1,000, that is the day of Brahma. 1,000 Chaturjugas. Now, in a day of Brahma, there are 14 Manus. So, when you divide 1,000 by 14, what do you get? About 71. So, the duration of one Manu's reign is, or life, is 71 Chaturjugas. And when one Manu shifts over, another Manu comes. So, this is how the Manus change. Now, if you ask what happens to the Manus, well, after they die, whatever happens to everybody else happens to them also. They change into another body, or sometimes they retire. Let somebody else come, other Manu come and take over. I can see there are quite a few questions from the internet. Sudama Vipradas from Los Angeles. Hare Krishna Maharaj, I am a disciple of... Oh, this is another Sudama Vipra. I am a disciple of His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami from New Delhi. My question is, as we see today that we do not follow the Vedic culture the way we must actually follow, and we talk of going back home, back to Godhead, as Maharaj says, that we are badly entangled. What is the possibility for us to meet our purpose of life's cause? Every minute in the material world we tend to forget the same. Please enlighten. Very nice question. Sudama Vipra Prabhu, very nice question. Yeah. You see, Krishna has simplified the process in this age very nicely. Krishna saw that we are not qualified to pursue spiritual life. In the age of Kali, we are totally unqualified or incapable. Therefore, Krishna made the process very simple. Like, he knows that in this age, most of us won't be able to lead a brahmachari life to begin our life. Most of us won't be able to properly become engaged in householder life. Most of us won't be able to become a banaprasthi and sannyasi. Most of us will be entangled in this material nature. Therefore, Krishna gave the simple process of directly remembering Krishna. Although we are not qualified ourselves, but through this process of chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we are becoming aware of Krishna. We are becoming how wonderful Krishna is. In this way, we are developing our attachment to Krishna. And this attachment to Krishna will automatically disentangle us from our material attachment. And now, just consider also, the time of death comes, when the time comes to die. At that time, what will happen? Because of the association of devotees, we'll be able to remember Krishna. At the time of death, when you are surrounded by devotees, they are chanting Hare Krishna, then we'll immediately, automatically become reminded of Krishna. And that is how we can perfect our life. So as you said, like, as householders, what is the hope for us? Our hope is that the process that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given. Chant the holy name of the Lord, hear about Krishna all the time, remember Krishna all the time. And this is how we'll develop our attachment to Krishna. And then Krishna also is watching that you are seriously trying to go back to Him. Then can you imagine, at the time of death, if you see that Krishna is standing in front of you, how will you feel? Will you feel any attachment to this material nature? Because Krishna is so attractive. And because we are practicing to develop our attachment to Krishna, when you see Krishna at that time, we will forget everything else and remember Krishna. Not remember, there is no question of remembering. Just be with Him. And He'll come and say, okay, now let's go back home. He had been fooling around in this material nature long enough. Now that you have become serious, let's go back. Sometimes I think of an example in this respect, like our situation in this material nature is something like a child wanted to play with his friends in the park. Father says, let's go. So then father brings the child to the park, and the child is so happy, now he met all his friends. And he is completely lost in his play with his friends. He doesn't have any remembrance of his father at all. But the father is sitting there by the park on a bench watching his son. And the son is lost completely in a game. Sometimes he is winning, sometimes he is losing in this game. But then it became dark. All his friends are gone. He becomes afraid. And he calls out, Daddy, Daddy, where are you? Then the father comes and picks him up and says, let's go home. So this material nature is like a playground where we all are lost in the game that we are playing, arranged by Maya. And in this game, sometimes we are happy, sometimes we are sad. Sometimes we are winning, sometimes we are losing. But ultimately, it's just a game. But being engrossed in this game, we forgot our real father. The moment we remember him and call out to him, he says, come, let's go home. So that is how easy it is to go back to Krishna. All we have to do is remember him.
Okay, now this is another question from the same devotee, Sudama Bipra Das. Dandavats Maharaj, I am practicing, as you said, the practicing meaning Krishna consciousness, and the results can be seen with us practicing this, but at times, why does it so happen that it becomes so monotonous? Please advise. Yeah, practicing becomes monotonous. Practicing becomes difficult. But after practicing, when you become perfect, then it all becomes wonderful. Like to learn to ride a bicycle, you have to practice. And when you're practicing, sometimes you fall, sometimes you get hurt. But then, all of a sudden, one day you see that you got the balance and you're riding the bicycle without any difficulty. Then it becomes fun. Right? So the practicing stage involves some difficulties. But when you achieve perfection, when you become perfect in this through this practice, then everything will become wonderful. But while you're practicing, don't you see that you are improving? Like you are trying to ride. The first, it was so difficult even to hold on to the handles of the bike. But then you are trying to. The first you fell, and then you saw that 2-3 paddles you can go without difficulty. And then all of a sudden one day you find that you can ride. So should I stop the class now? It's already past 9 o'clock. Many of you, anyway, so this is the last question. Rekhu Chandak from Mumbai. Maharaj, how do you understand that we are not approaching Lord Chaitanya directly, or do we take shelter of Lord Nityananda? It's a nice question. Nice question, Rekhu. How do we understand that we are not approaching Lord Chaitanya directly? Or do we take shelter of Lord Nityananda? Like, it has been very clearly pointed out that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cannot be approached directly. In order to approach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you have to go through Nityananda Prabhu. Because Nityananda Prabhu is the custodian. So it is through him you have to go. Now the question is, how do I approach Nityananda Prabhu? Nityananda Prabhu has his agents. Those agents are the spiritual masters. So you approach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through your spiritual master. So it is through the agent. Like the company doesn't sell the product directly. You have to go through the agent. Okay, thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. And all of you, thank you so much for coming. Many of you have come from distant places. And I know you had to go through a lot of difficulties. And I want to extend my special thanks to Dhara and Sanjeev for the beautiful performance last night. And we want you all to come again and again. And yesterday, maybe I can just briefly speak about that. Yesterday, that's the point I was trying to make. What is the goal of life? Goal of life, the ultimate goal of life is to remember Krishna all the time and never forget him.
So the Vedic culture